Now, coming up at the Ashkenaz Festival is presenting Yiddish Spring, a three-month multi-event showcase of Yiddish culture. It's happening up at the Canadian Language Museum, which is part of Glendon College of York University, 2275 Bayview Avenue. It opens April 4th, and at the heart of Yiddish Spring is an exhibition co-presented with the Canadian Language Museum featuring a sound installation by trumpeter and composer Paul Brody, who joins us in the studio now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here. Thanks
nice to have you.
Nice to have you here. Now, this is pretty unique. I mean, you've from what I've read about your bio, you've done this kind of thing before at a museum in Berlin. But
a lot, yeah.
Give people an overview of what this exactly is.
Because we're not sure.
It's tougher than it sounds. Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I talk with Eric Stein, which I'd like to thank, and also... from the Ashkenaz Festival, he's like, okay, it took like a year of coercion. And also Elaine Gold, who I'd like to thank from the Canadian Language Museum. It took a lot of emails back and forth. And also examples, which you'll hear. My artistic, what I like to say, playground, my artistic sandbox is in this world between spoken word and melody. Mm-hmm. I've always loved poetry, and poetry for me is... very musical. And for me, a melody is a story. A story is a melody. What I'm saying is that they're both a kind of a narration to get you from one place to the next place with a bit of an enjoyment or sadness or poetry or, something like that to touch you. So I work in theater. Theater works with music and text. I work a lot in sound installation with documentary work with recording people and composers. Right. And I do a lot of radio work back I did some things for NPR.
Okay.
National Public, but I work mostly for German radio stations.
Because you're based in Berlin.
Yeah, I live in Berlin, from California. And so what I'm saying is that what I like to do is I like to bring out, let me tell you something, the voice has as much melodic quality as any opera aria. When I, our speaking voices, when you tell me a story, when you say something, when I describe my wonderful lunch that I had yesterday at a downtown, my voice, my speaking voice has as much melodic quality as an opera aria, as something from Puccini and that's interesting. We filter that out in lieu of the words.
Right.
So what I enjoy doing through my compositions is turning over the hierarchy, reversing the hierarchy of listening. I create a space for the melodic quality of the voice, which you'll hear, and maybe highlight the melodic quality of the voice as well. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I tell you what, let's play a little clip so that people understand what this exactly is. So here's a clip.
In English, if you said that, they would call the police on you. A gezintir and pipik, which is among the most common Yiddish blessings, which literally means have good health in your belly button. A gezintir and pipik.
Or, your doctor should make a lot of money from you. Dan doktor soll machen penusse von dan leben.
Go hang sich off, which means go hang yourself.
You should have one tooth in your head. You should have a pain in that tooth. Du sollst huben ein Zähnen mal, und du sollst huben a Schmerzen des Zähnen.
So part of the thing about this that I like very much is that you're basically taking Yiddish curses.
And blessings.
And blessings. And blessings. It should be noted. And blessings. What was it? What was the genesis of this? Installation.
Yeah. I work as a person who loves language and who loves music and who I've been involved in Jewish music my whole life. I'm not an expert in Yiddish by any means, but I noticed that this way of speaking in Yiddish brings me home in a certain way. This humor, which is loving and has a hard bite to it.
Sure.
I love it. Yeah. And these curses are very special to our culture. Mm-hmm. And this sound installation is a celebration of that. And it's not like one of the people in the one of the interviews I gave, it's not always about the words, it's about how you say them. It's also kind of
and
about
that works
how
you, into that melody as well that you were discussing earlier.
Yeah, I might add that our voice melody carries an independent narration, independent of the words.
Mm.
Our voice melody tells information about who we are, both personal and impersonal, like who we are as far as where I'm from. I got an ah from California. I live in Berlin, so maybe some of my syllables are bent in a certain way.
Sure.
And also very personal, who I am, my age, my mood, and things like that.
But don't you find that also occurs in, say, recitative of Handel or Mozart, or that's what the whole point of recitative? You get a chord and then you speak and then the notes are put according to the expression?
Mm-hmm. Boom. Isn't I agree just, with you exactly. I know what you mean.
Yeah, exactly.
I am concordance with you.
Sure.
Yes, yes, yes. Opera has been examining this. The narration, the story of opera is the narration of voice and melody, the exploration of this.
Sure.
So there's a lot to be discovered in this, what I call a kind of a between world.
Mm-hmm.
World.
Also, I'm sorry.
No, please.
I'm thinking also of the High Holidays, you know, and the various things that are celebrated at that time, and the modal structure of sadness or recollection of times past.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing occurs that minor keys would express sadness or melancholy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, delivering a story with the underlining feeling, which was these the music of it binds us, I think. The music of us binds us, and that's a deep thing.
Oh, for sure.
That's not to be kind of like, oh, yeah, of course.
No, it is. It's a very profound thing. Uh-huh.
So, but you're still, I'm trying to do here is make sense of the difference.
The difference between
what you do and what, say, another composer would do.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't think there is a difference. That's what I'd say. I don't know. Paul,
I have
tell
my
me.
Own style. No, yeah. there are this is by no means new. Janacek, Stephen Reif have done this. There's a wonderful guy, Charles Spearin, I think his name, in Toronto, the Happiness Project.
He's
great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oliver Messiaen did that with the voices of birds.
Mm-hmm.
And this is by no means new. I just love this idea. The composer Charles Ives includes wonderful sound narrations in his symphonies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I say, opera has been examining this and experimenting with this and turning over which is king, the melody, which is that was a bad word, king. Which is on top, which is on the bottom, or whatever.
Yeah.
The melody or the text, you know, this whole dialogue between the two. This is no mind. I have my own way of composing. I like to say I use a kind of a 12-tone approach with motifs, with voice melody. Sometimes the person speaks up, and then I compose going down to reflect their voice. Sometimes I parallel or mirror their voice.
Okay.
I have a kind of 12-tone rule. Schoenbergian approach to composing sometimes.
I see.
Well, it sounds incredibly fascinating.
Thanks.
It sounds like it is going to be a really cool part.
Uh-huh.
It'll be hot. Come.
Exactly. The Ashkenaz Festival is presenting Yiddish Spring, a 3-month multi-event showcase of Yiddish culture, of which Paul Brody's sound installation is part of. It opens on April 4th at 7 o'clock. It's at the Canadian Language Museum, Glendon College of York University, 2275 Bayview Avenue. If you want to get more information on this, because it is jam-packed, get yourself over to ashkenaz.ca.